This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Busy on a football Friday. It is over for Aaron. Is it a new day for his biggest fan? We got gambling tips. We got Jimmy Johnson and all rise for the MVP. It's a football Friday with all the fixings. Let's go.
Here we go.
Only one place to start.
One place to start here on ESPN Radio, brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Smartest thing I did today was say, hey, Sam Acho and Rob Ninkovich, can you guys hang out after we finish up? Get Up, and they've been good enough to do just that as we talk football this morning for 2 hours on Get Up, and a lot of it was about Aaron Rodgers. And Sacho, I'll start with you because, I mean, football is so week to week, and now that there's Thursdays, it basically is day to day. Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, we were talking about, oh, the Rodgers, they've got a chance. And now here we are, and they're just finished. What do we say about the Packers and their quarterback today?
I was surprised by how they played. That huge win on Sunday, you think they're coming back. Christian Watson stepping up, 4 catches, 3 touchdowns. He played great on Thursday night, but Aaron Rodgers didn't. So that was probably the game they needed if they wanted to make a playoff run. 6 more games, if you want to make the playoffs, you probably got to win all 6 of them, and it's not looking good, not only for him, but for that entire team.
By the way, their next game is against the Eagles, who are only, you know, maybe the best team in the entire sport. Now, Ninko, you were writing signs, literally making signs, it's over for the Packers weeks ago.
5 weeks ago.
5 weeks ago, you've been seeing this. So if indeed last night is sort of the last shovel full of dirt being put on their season, what's the story? How did they go from what they were? Devontae Adams speaks for itself.
Yep.
But it can't be. Devontae Adams isn't the difference between 13-3 and 4-7.
No.
Why did it go this way?
The chemistry. I didn't see chemistry with this team. And you build that chemistry in the offseason. You build it with your receiving core. You build it with your teammates. And sometimes when the team is lacking the chemistry and then your coaching isn't getting through to the players, there's no buy-in. And when you have a team that is bought in and they have chemistry, they build momentum through a season. And you might slip up and have a loss, 2 losses, 3 losses, but you still are a group of guys with a common goal. I don't see this team having the chemistry, having that buy-in, and having basically the coaching to where everyone relies, hey, you see Aaron Rodgers coming off the sideline, ripping his helmet off, yelling at the head coach, we should have ran the ball.
Yeah.
Or on 4th and 3, you know, the head coach saying something under his breath that I can't say on national radio.
Mm-hmm.
But that is an issue. And go back 6 weeks ago when Rodgers was saying, we just maybe need to simplify a little bit. And then the head coach says, no, we're perfectly fine. We don't need to simplify anything. We're going to do what we do. So
something's not right.
Something's not right. You can tell by the feel of Rodgers. I've never seen Rodgers have so many tantrums on the field.
Yep.
Where he's screaming and you see all these clips of him getting mad and yelling at the receiving core, yelling at players where they should have been. And then basically, you know, coming up with a lot of excuses, which after this loss, at least he owned up to it and said, yeah, that's on me. I missed some throws.
Now, look, 2 of the last 3 games have been on him. He played terribly in that loss against Detroit that really was rock bottom for this team. And then he didn't play well last night. We did a good job, Sacho, with the highlights this morning of showing some of the opportunities they had late in that game. And for so much of this season, it's been about other people. But last night, it was about the quarterback.
And even a lot of the season, it's been about him, but he's blamed it on other people. What happened, at least for me in that point in the game, is I'm thinking, man, Aaron Rodgers is going to do what he does. He's going to come back in the fourth quarter, make some critical throws like he did against the Cowboys, make critical decisions, even if they're not huge, great throws, and win the game. But we saw miss after miss after miss. And so it doesn't inspire, for me, I think for anyone else, hope that they're going to get it all together. Even with Christian Watson, the one they said, we got to get him going, he's going. He has 8 catches over the last 2 games. 5 of them have been touchdowns. Christian Watson has gotten going. But Aaron Rodgers is the one who still is, in a lot of ways, not played up to par and not lived up to par for this season.
Watson's going to be a good player. Everyone knew coming in he was going to be a good player. Generally speaking, wide receivers from North Dakota State take a little time. So he's going to be a really good player for a different quarterback, because it's going to be 2 or 3 years from now that he becomes a finished product. And I don't know who's going to be the quarterback in Green Bay, but I don't think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. Meanwhile, Ryan Tannehill was most definitely in the zone last night. In the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone with AutoZone. Tannehill played great last night. He threw for 333 yards, and he was efficient. And if he plays like that, then the Titans are a very legit Super Bowl contender. And, Ninko, you're buying into them. The big question is going to be, in the AFC, where Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, maybe even Justin Herbert if he sneaks in, the way Tua is playing, you know, those are going to be the quarterbacks he's going to have to go up against. I think a lot of us are going to say, I'm going to need to see Ryan Tannehill show me he can beat those guys in a big game before I believe it's going to happen.
So the question here is, can the Titans beat these teams? Of course they can. Will they be the Super Bowl contending team? I'm not going to say that right now, but I know that when you watch this team and you watch the running game, they were down some key pieces last night. They didn't have their starting center. They didn't have starting corner safety. They didn't have their kicker. So they were down a lot of key guys on the road on a short week, and they still looked really good. So that comes down to what I talked about earlier, chemistry, coaching, and buy-in. So this team looks like they're bought in, and you have Vrabel running up and down the sidelines, cheering on his guys, doing secret handshakes with Derrick Henry. So with that, this is a scary team. This is a team that if you play them in the playoffs, they have a really good run-stopping defense. Their offense, we know, can run the football and is very physical. Now, the question mark is Ryan Tannehill. Can he protect the football? Can they throw the ball down the field if they do fall behind? Those are things that we will find out moving forward. But I can tell you this, in the NFL, with a loaded roster, a roster like that, they can beat anybody.
Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance gives you protection on the phone, online, or on the app 24/7. Because things happen 24/7. Quote at progressive.com. Sacho, did you ever play against Derrick Henry?
I didn't play against Derrick Henry.
That dude scares me. And I'm just watching. I mean, I'm just in my house.
Comparable guy, I would say, is Brandon Jacobs. Remember from the Giants? Yeah, I played against Bradshaw and Jacobs.
Was he fast like Henry? I mean, Henry is lightning fast.
It's north-south. Yeah. It's that straight-ahead stuff where when you meet him in a hole, like, you have to be there, like, fully there, or he's going to rip through your arms. Like, he's so big and strong, similar to some of those bigger running backs.
Like Adrian Peterson. Like
Peterson almost ripped my arm off once, because when he's running the football, he's running angry, and he's so strong that you can't just stick an arm out and expect to like trip him up.
But your mentality though, as a defensive lineman, like it's not, oh, this is Derrick Henry's big and strong. He's like, no, I'm going to beat my guy. You might be able to run over DBs and little guys.
Not me.
But not me. That's kind of what we think. And I think there's some reality to that. I remember playing against Adrian Peterson and being like, no, he's not going to, he might try to run over a DB, but he's going to try and run around me or juke me. Now, obviously Derrick Henry's not really juking anybody. He's not trying to. But you think, man, I'm going to build a wall. I'm going to not let him. I mean, we saw Denver did a good job of slowing him down.
Well, I'm genuinely afraid of him. Like, I've never met Derrick Henry. I actually covered the championship game when he was on Alabama, and they won the national title. And I remember looking at him on a college field thinking, holy smoke. So, I mean, what are we going to do with this?
One of the big keys to stopping a guy that's big like that and physical is not letting him hit the gap wide open. Yeah. Like, don't let him run, grab the ball, take his steps, and literally not break stride and hit the hole, because then he's going to carry people for 5 yards. If you can keep the holes tight as far as he doesn't know where he needs to get up the field at, and you've seen before when he stops his feet, similar to Blunt. Remember LeGarrette Blunt?
Yeah.
Sure. He was my teammate for a long time. That's a big, strong man right there.
Yeah.
And he would run over a lot of people. He was big and strong. But one of his things was, once he's going, you can't stop him.
We used to say that about Cordell Patterson, especially on kickoff returns. Remember, he was scoring all those touchdowns for all the different teams with the Vikings,
stop
whoever.
Stop your feet, if, redirect.
Bingo. If he goes downhill, he will not be stopped. But if you make him stop his feet, go left and right. So with Derrick Henry, that's what the teams that are stopping him, you're making him go left and right and letting him not get a full head of steam downhill.
Yep. Someone on our show in the morning, I forget, it might have been RC, someone at one point after a big Derrick Henry game said, the key is you can't see both twos. He wears the number 22. If you see both of them coming at you, you're done. You just want to see one of the two.
Pretty accurate.
If you see both of them, it is all over. Let me ask you one more thing before I have to let you guys go. Is Mike Vrabel, the coach of the Titans, you know, it is impossible not to notice, particularly with Josh McDaniels struggling as badly as he is and they are in Las Vegas right now. I mean, the continued failure of the Bill Belichick disciples, you know, it's just an impossible story to ignore. I know how close you are to Matt Patricia. Rob, he was your, you know, coach for a long time. And he just didn't get it done in Detroit. There's no other way around it. And we've seen so many of these guys go off. And yet here's Vrabel. And you were telling me this morning, he's got a little of Belichick's personality, but he does it in such a different way because he's a former player.
It's different. Well, I say that because as a player, you absorb the knowledge from Bill and playing under Bill and how to play defense and the way to rush a quarterback, or a go-to guy is literally standing right next to you as an outside linebacker. Should you just pin your ears back and go and get the quarterback? Probably not. Hit the guy if he's right there, slow him down, and then you have a chance at getting the quarterback. So that's like little things. I watch all these other teams that they're it's just like dumb football. So you learn from that, and then you take your own personality. And if you ever become a head coach and you get into coaching, you have a little bit more on the resume, because as a player, you can say, I know how that is. I know how hard that play is. I know how hard it is to tackle a guy in the open field. I know what it's like to miss a play or miss a tackle or let up a touchdown or have a penalty. Everything that you've done, I've done. So how do we get this done? I'll show you. And sometimes as a coach, you come in and it's this my way or the highway, like this is the way we're going to do things. And that's not the best way. You have to look at your team, your roster, and you have to try and take everyone's best skill set and attributes and mold your roster that way. So similar to Brian Daboll, he's in Buffalo. He goes to the Giants. The Giants aren't set up to be like Buffalo, to be a spread and throw 40 times. Mm-hmm. They're set up to run the football. They have Barkley, who's a very physical runner. Maximize what your skill set is, and then over a year or two, you can – bring in some people or draft somebody and change it the way that you want it to be. But I think that the whole, you know, disciples, a lot of that has to do with, as a coach, you coach with Bill for a very long time. There's a way things are done. And Bill, he's been very good for so long that there is almost like a little bit of a, oh, that's Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. Like, that's Bill talking. Like, everything he says, I'm going to write down. Well, when you go somewhere else, and you don't have the resume like Bill, a little bit different. You can't come in and kind of think that everyone's going to look at you the same way. You have to earn that. And as a coach, a player, really, when you sit in a room and you watch a coach come in, you're evaluating that coach, the way he talks to you, the way that he shows you how to play a technique. You know, oh, play this double team, the YY wing. I want you to play it this way. And you look at him and say, listen, in reality, mm-hmm. that doesn't work. It doesn't work because that guy, the way you're telling me to do it, isn't going to actually functionally work. And it's a lot easier. You can flip through a book and look at a diagram and say, like, this is how it looks on paper. But until you're on the field and you experience it and you actually run through it, it doesn't work. So I think it's taking inputs and then also knowing how to relate to a player.
Yeah, it's a good explanation. I mean, it's a very good explanation. And what it ultimately boils down to, Sacho, is he's a good coach, right? That guy's a good coach.
Yeah, and even two things. One, to Ninko's point about, like, certain plays, there are certain things that happen on a football field that you can't drop. So the point of, like, the YY wing, you have two tight ends, you're the outside linebacker. They tell you, hit the guy that's on the line of scrimmage. I had a guy, Clark Hagans, when I was playing, I was a rookie, he taught me, hey, I don't care what the coach says, that's not going to work. Hit the off-the-ball guy first, and then you fall into your gap. And I was like, well, that's not what the coach said, but that's what actually happens, right? Mike Vrabel understands what actually happens. He's not going to tell you to do something that's not going to work because he's played the game, number one. Number two, a player is a reflection of their coach. And so we all know how physical and tough and smart Mike Vrabel was as a player. Now these players on the team, that's how they play. They're physical. They're tough. They're smart. They don't beat themselves. They're going to bully you. That's the way this team plays, and probably because those are the kind of guys that he wants.
Look, it is worth pointing out that without their starting quarterback, They took Kansas City to overtime a couple of weeks ago on the road in Kansas City. So the idea that they can't do it, I think, does not make sense. Guys, you're the best. Thank you both very much. Enjoy the weekend. It is a delight to have you both here. We've got a special early edition of Who You Got on the way. Greeny Nation is with you here on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. I'll tell you when to call. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one that fans deserve. Again, Bubba's turn is next. A special early Who You Got on the way. A Football Friday on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, the assembled members of the hashtag crew have assembled around us here. Bubba is here. He'll do Who You Got in a minute. Nuno is here. And Hembo is here. And Hembo, I'll start with you. So I've had a very busy week. I had charity events each of the last two nights. The best thing about my job and my life right now is that people ask me to come and be a part of these events. I was the host of an event for a 9/11 charity that I love on Wednesday night, and then for an educational charity last night up in Connecticut that I love. So we jumped in the car last night to come home. It was kind of late by my standards, and I'm trying to keep up on what's going on in the Green Bay-Tennessee game. And so I'm only peripherally aware of the fact that like 13 of the top 15 trends on Twitter are Twitter is dead. So I will admit something happened yesterday and I missed it. Why is Twitter dead? Did Twitter actually end yesterday?
No, it did not. I'll fill you in on what you missed. So earlier in this week, Elon Musk, who now owns the thing, sent a memo, a highly publicized memo to all of the employees saying, in effect, if you want to stay, you have to be what he described as extremely hardcore and set a deadline of yesterday for those that did not want to be to leave. And so a lot of people yesterday left. It has been described as a mass exodus. And so there have been a lot of speculation that this Twitter that we have come to know and some of us love is going to cease to exist because members of their critical engineering team, as it was put to me, are leaving in mass. And it's unclear whether or not they're going to be able to keep up their algorithm.
So it does, you know, I don't fully understand the algorithm, but that's neither here nor there. First and foremost, lots and lots of people losing their jobs is a terrible thing, regardless of anything. So please do not misinterpret the question I'm about to ask, because if Twitter employs a lot of people and then a lot of people become unemployed, that is, no one could describe that as a good thing, no matter what. That aside, Nuno, would the world be better or worse off without Twitter?
You know what? Twitter is one of those things I think for us in our profession we need. But I say to everyone, if I ever got out of this industry, I'm done with social media, with Twitter, because I think it's a complete and utter cesspool.
Of that, there is no question. But does it serve a function that is positive or negative in its totality for our civilization? I mean, I'm literally going to ask the question in terms that large, because I wouldn't get off of it as long as it exists, because one person getting off of it isn't going to change anything. What I'm asking is, if it literally ceased to exist, Bubba, And for those who don't know, Bubba is a specialist in so many things. He has such a long and historic career in so many different ways. And among them is that he was right there with Steve Jobs when a lot of the earliest technology as we currently know it, not Bill Gates, but a generation later with Jobs and some of the other geniuses at Apple. And Bubba was a big part of that. Bubba actually invented iTunes. But that's a different story for a different day. Bubba, have we arrived at a place now where if Twitter literally ceased to exist, would we be better off or worse off?
Well, I do think we would be better off because it is just a drain on society. However, it's just no matter what, there would just be something else that would pop up. So it's just, you know, even if this is going to be the end, we're so addicted to social media that something would pop up soon after. You know, they're going to create. But I think if we could get rid of social media, I think that would be tremendous. I think it would help. We would be better off for sure.
But that will clearly never happen. Social media is much too big. That's one of the. But I don't know. I don't know as much about social media as a lot of other people do. But between Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat, it seems to me Twitter is the one that is the most toxic. I maybe I have that wrong, but that is the way I view it, and
seems
I feel
like it.
I feel like Twitter has, in many ways, this is getting to be a conversation that I don't necessarily know that we feel like having, but Twitter has in many ways become a place that people think ideas are shaped when I'm not really sure that is accurate, and I wonder sometimes if literally as a species we wouldn't be better off if it just ceased to be.
Well, I think Twitter's original conception was that we could come and share ideas in this common space, but that's obviously not what it has proven to be. I was texting with a friend of mine this morning who made a lot more money in Silicon Valley than I ever will, and what he said was, we'll know if Twitter will cease to exist sometime during the World Cup. Because there's going to be so much potential engagement, and if all of these engineers that have elected to leave, like that's when we'll know. At some point in the next month, we'll know if Twitter is going to be a part of our future for quite a while, or for like it could cease to exist, I guess, in some sense, in the next month.
Okay, well, we'll see if that's it. Well, RIP Twitter. Well, I'll have nowhere to post that. So on we'll go. Michigan, Illinois college football action tomorrow here on ESPN Radio, presented by Dr. Pepper. Coverage 11:30 a.m. Eastern on most of these ESPN Radio stations.
Life is a series of choices.
Who you got?
Make a decision.
Say it! Say it!
All right, I'll say it.
Who you got?
All right, so who you got means Bubba. And normally, we finish up our week with these. But as I said, we have Jimmy Johnson coming up late today. So we're going to do an early edition of Who You Got, where Bubba's got a series of questions for me. Some of them are about sports. Some of them are not. Bubba, take it away.
All right, Who You Got brought to you by Grainger. And we're going to start with the ESPN Radio Pick'em Challenge, as we've been doing. We got three games, and you are still up in first place. Tied for first place. The opposite is working. You are 16-12-2. Tied for first place with Freddie and Fitzsimmons. So we got three games. We're starting with Chiefs at Chargers. This one is Kansas City -6. Who you got?
Look, I think the Chiefs are going to blow their doors off, and that leads me to believe I should take the Chargers. There is no such thing as a home field advantage for the LA teams. There'll be far more people in that building wearing Mahomes jerseys than anything else. My only question is the public heavily on the Chargers?
It is. 75% of the public
is on the Chargers.
Exact. Mm-hmm.
See, so this is where I get in trouble, because I want to pick the opposite of myself.
If every instinct you have is wrong, then the opposite would have to be right.
But I also want to pick the opposite of the fans. So the fans like the Chargers, and I like the Chiefs. I think I have to fade myself. I think more than anything, I'm wrong more than the public is wrong. I will take the Chargers. The official pick will be the LA Chargers -6 at home. That is the KOD pick.
Hashtag KOD. The kiss of death.
The hashtag KOD is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. That's the first pick. What else we got?
All right, the most important game of the weekend, Cowboys at Vikings. And this one is Dallas. -1.5. Who you got here?
Bubba wearing a Dak jersey saying that. What's the public think of this game?
79% of the public is on Dallas, despite being the favorite in this game.
I think I have to take the Vikings. I think I have to go Oppo because I am totally torn. Like, I could see this game going either way, which means I have nothing really to go the opposite of. So in this case, I'll fade the public. I'm rooting for the Cowboys like crazy. Cowboys minus 1.5. I will take the Vikings at home getting 1.5. I can't believe that's the number, to be honest with you. Okay, I'm taking it. Well, no. But you see, now my gut is telling me I like the Vikings, which means I should go the other way. What did you say the public is doing?
79% on Dallas, which is just so bizarre to me. Like,
people just bet on Dallas.
Yes, and there's zero public confidence in a one-loss Minnesota team.
All right, I'll take Minnesota. The official KOD pick, doing the opposite and everything. I'm going to fade the public and myself. I will take Minnesota plus the 1.5 at home. Bubba.
All right, the most important game to you, Jets at Patriots. And this one is New England minus 3. Who you got?
Okay, so I tweeted at the beginning of the week, it scares me to death how sure I am the Jets are going to win. I have ridiculous confidence that the Jets are going to beat Belichick, which is the worst possible way to feel if you are a Jet fan going into this game. Is there a public lean?
76% of the money is on New England.
Boy, this is terrible. Like, everything is saying I should pick the Jets. No. But if here's what I'm going to do. I want to apply the KOD where I want it to go. It is more important to me that the Jets win this game than it is that I win this pick'em challenge. I'd like to win the pick'em challenge, but I've never seen – I mean, the Jets haven't beaten Bill in like 5 years.
They can't win if you pick 'em.
That's exactly right. Because I love my team, my pick is the Pats.
Hashtag KOD. The kiss of death.
All right, so those are the pick'em picks. Now Bubba always throws in a bunch of other fun questions. What else you got?
All right, who you got? Brought to you by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is always there to help. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And as we were just talking about, the World Cup is beginning soon. Just 2 days before the World Cup begins, Qatar is banning all beer sales at and around its stadiums. Interesting. Who you got here?
Well, so I know this is a very big deal, right? Because, I mean, there are laws in the country and religious laws and all the rest of that. You got to look. This is one of the great frauds of all time, right? I mean, the utter shamelessness of these people at FIFA to have just taken this money. And so now you take your money and you pay your price. Like, that's it. That's the rule. All right, I don't know much about Qatar, but I do know that this is against the law there. So if that's the law, that's the law. And you knew that going in. So if this creates problems for FIFA and their deal with Budweiser, I'll tell you right now whose problem that isn't. The host country, they already paid to get this thing. So I have zero issue with that. And if the FIFA people are upset about it, they have no one but themselves to blame. This is one of the great shameless frauds in the history of sports.
But this thing starts in 2 days. Like, did we think they were going to change their constitution?
Well, apparently they had, yes, they had said, we'll make some
they had
ways.
Said?
Yeah, exactly. Well, there you have it. All right, Bubba, what's next?
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I just think, to me, I feel really bad for the fans, but this is exactly what FIFA deserves. Like, this is what you get.
Right.
And, you know, I feel bad for the fans, though. Like, it's terrible, but this is what they get. 20 years ago Wednesday, a billionaire in Texas hired the Rolling Stones to perform at his birthday for close to $6 million. Who you got as the one band you would pick to play at your birthday?
Well, that is such a good question. All right, so are we having a party? That's really the question. Is do I want like a whole bunch of people there dancing, you know, and partying? If so, that lends itself to like one style of music. And if it's just someone that me and a small collection of people would sit and listen to, that would lend itself to something else. So like having a private concert from someone, I'll just say like Paul Simon, would be something that I'd never forget. I don't even know how I would survive the experience. But that's not necessarily what you're going to do if you're going to have like a big party. So if you're throwing a big party and you're going to get the whole thing like rocking, can I tell you the God's honest truth? I mean, this is going to sound ridiculous, but especially right now because it is so of the moment and my daughter is so insane with this.
Oh, God, don't do it.
The degree to which I would don't be a hero in my family if I had Taylor Swift come play a private concert right now, it would be... It would literally be like my kids think I'm an idiot. I once wrote a book about my wife thinks I'm an idiot. My kids think I'm an idiot. And it would be a fun show, too. Like Taylor Swift playing a concert on your. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do
it. It's your birthday.
I know that, but at the end of the day, who cares about my birthday? It's for my kids wouldn't.
You care about your birthday. You tell us how many shopping days there are until it every single year.
Yes, well, I want you to buy me a gift, but that doesn't have anything to do with anything else. It's a whole other conversation. I've told you many times. It is far better to receive than to give. And if
I'm not sure that's the proverb.
If you feel differently, then let's exercise it. You give, and you'll feel great about that, a gift to me. I'll receive, and I'll feel great about it, and everyone will be happy. We call that a win-win. Anyway, the Rolling Stones would be a pretty good choice there, actually. But I'm going to go with Taylor Swift, just because it seems to upset Bubba. Right, give me one more.
16 years ago Wednesday, Queen's Greatest Hits album became the best all-time selling album in the United Kingdom. So, who you got as your favorite Queen song?
Queen is a band I've grown to appreciate more and more as time has gone by. I'm old enough to have actually been a fan of Queen when it was current. And then Freddie died and it sort of all went away. And I guess the movie sort of brought a lot of it back. And yeah, I feel
Hembo's
like
Hembo's old enough to know them from the movie. Yeah.
What was the name of the guy who played him and won the Oscar, right? Malick?
Rami Malick.
Yeah. I mean, it's too cliche to say Bohemian Rhapsody, right? Like, I love the song Radio Gaga is a great song. And if you've ever seen the video, there's a concert video of Freddie, of them singing that song, but Freddie standing there at Wembley Stadium, you know, the huge stadium in London, doing Radio Gaga, and the way the entire crowd goes along with him, it gives me goosebumps watching that. So for the purposes of this, I will answer that way. All right, we'll see if we can't sneak in a few more as the morning continues. Bubba, with who you got? We got a green light still coming your way here in this hour. We'll all rise for the MVP. And Jimmy Johnson is on the way this morning as well.
Greeny, the podcast.
Yeah, Bubba. That's my song, Greeny, with you. You know, it's time to say goodnight to that check engine light with the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It'll help troubleshoot the likely cause of your light for free so you can drive with peace of mind. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone with AutoZone. I always loved that song as a kid. And part of it might be because I always loved the radio. I obviously, Hembo, I'm a lot older than you are. And so I don't know if you grew up with this, but the radio was always on in my house when I was a kid. And now, I don't mean like my parents would talk about listening to like, you know, soap operas, things like that, like actual shows on the radio. We didn't have that, of course. But we listened to music. We listened to news. We listened to, you know, talk shows. So I always liked radio. So it's probably not a coincidence that I wound up doing this. With that said, let's do a green light.
I'm ready to go right now. Green light with Greeny.
All right, a couple of quick green light items here on this Football Friday. Aaron Judge wins the MVP. It was nearly unanimous yesterday. What was the general reaction to that, Hembo?
The reaction was that Aaron Judge should have been unanimous. There were 30 votes cast. 28 of them went to Judge. 2 of them went to Shohei Ohtani. I actually think you could make a good faith argument that Ohtani deserved to win the MVP. He would not have gotten my vote. He did not get my vote when I submitted my picks to ESPN.com, considering he finished 4th in the Cy Young vote and also hit 34 home runs. But that being said, it was pretty clear Aaron Judge deserved to win the award. And a lot of people made note yesterday, Greeny, in all of his post-award interviews, that he was still cleanly shaven. I thought Aaron Judge was going to troll the Yankees now that he's a free agent, grow facial hair, make it a thing, right? Because he's obviously said all the right things in terms of maximizing his value and all the rest of it. But Aaron Judge was cleanly shaven, Nuno, yesterday after his MVP speeches and whatnot. Did you take any solace in that fact?
No, but I did take solace in the fact he had a conference call later that evening, and he said, you know, he talked about winning is going to be the biggest factor, right? Like, they've come close. So he wants to be in a situation where they have a culture and that the end goal is winning. So that kind of makes me feel a little bit comfortable, whereas it's not a complete money grab, right? Like, you're not going to see the Angels, who are just perennial losers, just even though they have Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, say.
Yeah, because we can take every athlete at their word when they just say winning is the most important thing. I mean, okay.
He'll just turn his back on the $400 million.
And I'm sure at the press conference he's going to say winning is important, too.
You know what would happen, in all honesty?
Ridiculous.
The Angels are a team. The Angels are a team. that could spend $400 million on Aaron Judge, mm-hmm. bring him out there for 8 years, and finish fourth in the division every single season. That, they would somehow – they could have a team with Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, and Aaron Judge on it, the three players most likely to win MVP every year for the next decade and still not once make the playoffs.
For sure.
Right? They could manage
to do that. The MVP and Cy Young. Ohtani will win the Cy Young.
That's right. He'll win both. He'll win the MVP and the Cy Young at the same time, although that's actually been done, but only by as someone as a pitcher. Right. He could win the Cy Young and the Silver Slugger Award or whatever else it is he might win. Trout will come back fully healthy, and he'll have one of his best seasons. Judge will hit 63 home runs this time, and they'll finish fourth. That's what
in the division.
In their division. Right. That's what I mean. Yeah, they won't even sniff the playoffs.
I'll say this, though. I think Aaron... Unless the money is vastly different, I think Aaron Judge would make a big mistake and would learn to regret leaving the Yankees. I truly do. Aaron Judge is the face of baseball because he's a Yankee, not because he's Aaron Judge. And we can go through a dozen players whose careers were greatly amplified by the fact that they played every single game they ever did for the Yankees. He's sort of next in line there. I think if he had a conversation with Derek Jeter in an honest moment, Jeter would tell him, your best bet is to stay here because you will be a legend forever.
What was I reading yesterday, Bubba, my Met fan friend, that the union wants to investigate that the Mets and the Yankees owners have like a friendly agreement where Steve Cohen, with all of his billions, is not going to make a run at Aaron Judge because that's just sort of a handshake agreement that they have. What am I missing here?
I mean, that's just supposedly, yeah, that's it basically. Supposedly there's just an agreement between Cohen and Steinbrenner that Steinbrenner, I think, was in favor of Cohen taking over the Mets and kind of pushed him to take over, since there was some people who didn't want Cohen to take over. Steinbrenner was pushing him through that. Now that he's going to kind of step back and not take Judge, so now they're investigating that, supposedly. That's the rumor.
Are we good with this?
Of course not, but obviously we have to see the result of the investigation. I don't think the Mets are going to come out with Aaron Judge. I think Shohei Ohtani is the apple of their eye. He's a free agent after next season. The Mets general manager, Billy Epler, who was the GM in L.A. with the Angels when he signed him and brought him over from Japan, that's going to be their signing a year from now.
The last thing in the world I want to do is pour any water on Ohtani. He's a unicorn. He's the best thing I've ever seen in my life, all of that. How long can that possibly go on? I mean, how many years can you count on a player being able to be dominant at the two different elements of the sport?
Zero.
You can't count on it.
You definitely can't count on it, and it would be unwise to pay for it. Look, I understand.
That's what I'm asking.
For sure. What Shohei Ohtani did last year and the year before and what he might do next year is not something that you can count on at all. I would describe it as the riskiest, like, nine-figure contract in the history of baseball. Look, even if you split the baby in half and you still get the production on one end of it, you're still getting some value, of course, but nothing close to the player that he has been.
Well, but you would have him be an offensive player if he was just going to do one.
You would,
right?
Have him be, yeah.
You would go in that direction. Mm-hmm. We'll see. It's going to be very interesting to watch. But one way or another, I was a little surprised it wasn't unanimous, but I'm not going to sit here and yell and scream Ohtani's season was historic. I'm Greeny, and presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. For protection on the road and on the water, see how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.